Joining you on the show this morning is a man who's no stranger to the Early Breakfast Show. He is our resident political commentator, giving us some news on the political desk, Phumlani Madjozi. Good morning.
Good morning, Pudi. How are you?
Hey, absolutely. Well, you know what? I'm fine. I'm happy. But then there are stories, you know, that so much they just try and bring you down. But nonetheless, it's a Friday. You can't keep a good man down on a Friday. Phumlani, not wasting any time. Many South Africans seem to view Ramaphosa as the front runner as he leads the race to be president of the ANC. I say this is not the case. It's just one of those things where in politics, perhaps we see what we want to see. Because, I mean, we've seen it before. Politics is almost like charming a snake. Show them one hand while the other hand reaches from behind. Grabs you from behind. So, do you agree or disagree?
I will answer your question now. I was just saying that Clinton was a hit last year in the U.S. election, up until the night of the election. You know, I think the New York Times estimated that she had at least 80% chance of winning the election, and then things, you know, turned around and everybody was shocked and surprised. But in this case, in this ANC presidential race, I think what we need to understand is that, yes, it seems like Ramaphosa is ahead when you look at the numbers, the branch nominations that have come through, right? He's leading right now. But the key thing is that only a third or 30% of branch nominations have come through, right? So that means we still have 70% that haven't come through. And I think I would agree with you, as I've made the point on the show, that it doesn't seem like, to me, I think this thing will culminate into NDZ, Nkosana Dlamini Zuma, sort of winning, at least that's my projection, winning the race. Because I think when you look at the numbers, look at Mpumalanga and KZN, you know, they are leading with 50%, I think, I think it's 15% Mpumalanga. I think 15% KZN and then about 18% Mpumalanga. I'm not sure if I'm getting those numbers, but I'm trying to say those two provinces that are in currently in sort of supporting in the Zuma camp, they have massive delegate numbers, right? So they make up a big chunk of them. And the KZN is leading in terms of delegates that will be sent through to the conference. And right now, apparently in KZN, Nkosana Dlamini Zuma has a very commanding lead. She recently got more than 240, I think, branch nominations, while Ramaphosa got about 69, if I'm not mistaken, numbers around there. So that tells you how big sort of the gap is at the moment. But the main point is that even though it could seem like Cyril Ramaphosa is ahead right now, we need to the key thing you have to remember is that the branch nominations, only a third of them have sort of come through. The majority of them, they haven't yet come through. So as soon as they come through, then we're going to have a picture. And I think that even the numbers of how the, because remember that the province that had the most delegates, in terms of the ANC support as well, it is those provinces like KZN, Mpumalanga that it's those provinces that are backing Zuma's camp. So that needs to be understood. So I'm trying to be in support of your point that right now it doesn't seem, it could seem like that, but technically, you know, we have to be, you know, be frank and honest that only a third of the branch nominations have come through.
If you've just joined the conversation, 49 minutes past four, if you like, 11 minutes to 5 o'clock. A very good morning to you. You are listening to the Early Breakfast Show on Cape Talk. My name is Abongile Nzelenzele. You are joined on the line, though, by our political commentator, Phumlani Madjozi, talking about Sir Ramaphosa being viewed as a front runner and as to be president of the ANC. And certainly, to some extent, agreeing with me that it's not so. It may seem so now, but you know what? Politics have shown that it's one of those games that you just can never call. You know, you have to wait until the end. But then, Phumlani, you know, a serious talker or an issue that's been on everyone's lips during the course of this week has been Jacques Pau's controversial book, The President's Keepers. Now, I like some of his, I think it was the representative of the editors saying that, you know what, the book has brought about debate. It's not to say that everything that's in the book, everyone agrees with it. I certainly don't think I will agree with it. I'm still trying to read the book, by the way. But the point is, it's a book that's out there that's making South Africans talk.
I think that's the very important thing. And it's making South Africans talk about an issue that is very, very much important to them. You know, the head of the state who's being accused of many, many sort of unlawful acts in that book, and that should really get us talking about it, you know, engaging on it. His book was launched, was it yesterday in Hyde Park, and then when it was launched, there was a power outage, you know, which is something that doesn't happen in Hyde Park, you know. So, and then some speculate, or there are some rumors that it may have been a political act by some people. We're trying to sabotage his book launch, and he has been receiving death threats and so on. But as the situation is like that, I think as the bottom line or the core of it is that he has. We'll see how the legal process is fine. It can take place. We saw or we heard that the SSA, they are sort of trying to pursue the issue. Or at least there's an investigation that is being done, you know, by the Hawks right now to see if there has been any sort of classified information. Because the SSA believes that, you know, there has been, the State Security Agency believes that there has been classified information that has been published by Bo. And that could get him into trouble with the law. So, but my point is that process is good. It should take place. Everything should be challenged in court for those who feel they have to. They want to challenge it. That's a normal process of our constitutional democracy. But I think at the end of it, I think already right now, the critical thing has already been done by this book, right? And that is to steer the debate about the issues of this country and how politicians, at the peak of power, you know, they committing some sort of fraudulent or unlawful act, and there's need to debate about that, because at the end of the day, it shapes the future of our country and it helps us make decisions on how we should move forward, you know, as a country, or and how we should handle our country. Yeah.
Phumlani, just on that, maybe your comments on the fact that if you do charge Paul, right, you have to charge him with something that's relevant that he revealed in the book. Now, in my understanding, all the things that were revealed in this book are very incriminating things. So when you go to court and you say he's released state secrets, I'm sure the judge is going to ask, okay, for it to be a state secret, it must have happened or there must be a record of it. So which is which? Tell me which ones are actually on record, thereby meaning that you're going to have to admit that, yes, these things actually happened. I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah, you are making sense. But you will remember that things with every country, and this is the case as well with the I think it's Edward Snowden in America who fled to Russia after revealing some serious things about what the American government is doing in terms of its process and so on. So, but there are sort of laws that are in place for such things that, you know, some information has to be kept and be classified and not be shared in public. And if they get shared in public without some sort of authorization from some people, then it becomes a criminal act, right? Even though they really happened, but the fact that they were sort of disseminated or distributed without some authorized or whatever process that has to take place, there are rules in fact, in almost every country around the world which say that it could be a criminal offense, right? Oh. So, but my point is that, look, I mean, for me, I'm confident of our judicial system, and this is what I've been making ever I go, that even though we have a political system that right now has been hijacked and political interests you know, are taking hold and so on. But I think our judicial system hasn't yet been captured, right? No. So if an issue like this is being sent to in and out of court, I do believe that our courts will reach the right, you know, decision at the end of the day, you know. So that's how I see it.
Bumlani Majozi, once again, thank you so much, Baba, for joining us on the show. We'll chat again soon.
Thank you, sir. Have a nice weekend.
You too. Have a lovely weekend. Bumlani Majozi, political commentator and a non-executive director at Free Market Foundation and a business analyst.